Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Heather Rowan Robbins. Welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who are fascinated by how astrology unfolds in our daily life, in our metaphysics, and in our politics. I'm joined by Mark.
Hello, Heather. How are you?
Good. How are you, Mark? And
yeah,
where are you calling in from?
Calling in from New York City. I just got in from upstate. And
how is it up there?
Enjoyed. It's reasonably warm again,
mm-hmm.
but we had 2 days of below zero.
Oof.
Overnight.
Saw it was pretty was Montana-like out there.
Yeah, I was going to say.
We actually had a few days of melting.
Yeah.
We got all our cold weather.
Wow.
And I see Anne on the line, but I'm not hearing her. Anne, are you there? Well, she might come in later. It's been quite a week. You know, we have that really interesting footage of, you can find it on spaceweather.com, of the comet going through the sky and a meteor shower. And that comet hasn't been around for a long time. And there are, you know, one of the things, a traditional story around comets was earthquakes, plagues, and death of kings, or regime changes, were often preceded to, I think it depends on the comet, but they, you know, was a turning point. And I often see new material, the image of a comet going through is new material arriving here in our solar system from far out into space. And I like that imagery for making it a turning point. Anne, are you there?
Yeah. I'm here.
Hi.
Yeah. I'm not,
you
I'm
made
not
it.
Quite sure what's happening.
Okay.
Also.
And I wanted to say that, as I was saying about the and this morning there was a really terrible earthquake in Turkey and Syria, and you know the death toll's up to 4,000 and going today.
Mm.
And now there's some strong feedback, and from your two calls, so you might want to undo one.
Better.
Yep, that is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I called in on the main line.
Mm-hmm.
Doing some kind of weird thing.
It's doing weird things. So we haven't heard from you in a while, Anne. How are you? Anne?
She's taking a ride on the comet.
Okay, so yes. It sounds like she's having some technical difficulties there with that. And, you know, I think Mercury coming to conjunct Pluto at the end of this week on Friday, and the following Thursday, the Sun conjunct Saturn. We were talking about that last week, how serious things are feeling at the moment for so many people in so many situations. And that seriousness can be a good turning point. It can be, I'm hearing people really finally getting to nailing down some negotiation they've been working on, or, you know, trying to make something happen. But then on the other side of this, we have, not knowing how to make those connections work. And the seriousness of, you know, finding out that, you know, they're going to be uncovering dead bodies in Turkey and Syria where that earthquake happened for days and weeks, and that is so Sun-Pluto conjunct. In America, it also brings up the paranoia of things like around the weather balloon flying through the sky, and what do we do about that? And they took it down, but now what does that mean, and what are they going to be finding out about it as they study the equipment? So it's an interesting heaviness and seriousness. I think, Anne, are you back?
I think I might be. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Hey, okay. Yeah, I dialed in with my computer, but the microphone seems to be a little flunky. It wasn't working. So I think I'm good. I think we have technology breakthrough. Yeah, it's all good. But also with Uranus squaring the sun on the world point, you know, it's bringing up
the eclipse
also from last November.
Mm-hmm.
And that full moon with moon, sun, Uranus. So,
right,
you know,
that moon, sun, Uranus,
line,
full moon, mm-hmm. and the comet going through and the coming mm-hmm. Mercury-Pluto conjunction.
Right.
Lots of technical difficulties.
A lot of technical difficulties, but also the, you know, a lot of times earthquakes are those Uranus aspects, you know, so is Sun Uranus.
And comets.
Full moon on it, and comets too, and I think we're looking at kind of lots of changes, and of course the excitement with the Chinese balloon getting shot down. And I think it's just for many people, it's kind of an aha moment in terms of, oh, wow, I get it. I'm seeing things I never saw before. And I think that's super important for all of us is having those moments and realizations and then figuring out what to do with them, you know. So it's big changes for all of us. And so the best way to handle it is just trust the process and pay attention to what's coming in. And I think that Mercury-Pluto, you know, that's such an intense energy this week. You know, he's also going to go past the point of his shadow. I think it's on the 12th. So it's also his third pass over Pluto. So it gives us a whole different, you know, part one, part two, part three. I always call those the Goldilocks and the Three Bears. You know, well, what have I learned? Okay, now what have I learned? And then what's the third thing I've learned? So, and then Mercury, you know, goes into Aquarius right after he hits Pluto, and he's like and flying. You know, I'm going to take off and fly now. So we get a whole different perspective when he goes off, when he leaves the ground and takes off into Aquarius. So
right, and I also see that coming up with the Sun Saturn conjunction in Aquarius, that we get up. You know, and say Aquarius kind of gets up in other people's business. The Mercury in Aquarius, that it can be really gossipy, or it can be, what's my social conscience? I'm suddenly aware that the world is out there, and what do I need to do about it? And that may be in response to, you know, we have this disaster in Turkey. How do we respond? You know, or what other serious events are going on in the world that call us to respond and feel part of the global community? You know, Venus conjuncts Neptune on Valentine's Day, which could be romantic on one side, but it can also set up all those illusions about what is love. But it can also really open our hearts to compassion, to ask us to, you know, make our Valentine a gift to the world.
And you have a lovely explanation of Valentine's Day taking place in Aquarius.
Yes.
You want to share it with everybody? I know it's.
I want to
romantic,
say that it's about the theory of love. It's not necessarily about romantic love. It, you know, originally was more about what's our concept of connection. And it, with Venus, you know, and St. Valentine's was someone who loved. Weddings for people. He performed weddings for people that couldn't otherwise be married, as a matter of fact. He wasn't the person who fell in love. But what I see it as Aquarius is our remembrance that we are supported by our network and by the community, that, you know, when we were in first grade and gave Valentine's out to everybody else in the class, that was more Aquarian Valentine's Day than chocolates and candy to someone or to mind the fact that you don't have someone to give chocolates and candy to or receive from, that it's really much more about how do I love all sentient beings or how do I love this world.
Yeah, which is very Aquarian.
Exactly.
Yeah. It completely speaks to that bigger vision, the bigger vision of connection. But a lot of decisions. I find all these people making decisions, leaving jobs, leaving partners, starting things up, you know, kind of going, okay, I'm going to go off and do this. Don't want to stay here anymore. So I think that's also, you know, Pallas Athena just comes in now. She's coming in. She's been out of down for a while. But she's coming in, so we're going to feel a little more structured and organized in terms of our vision of stuff. But we still have Mars out of bounds. And he is, you know, out of bounds until the end of March. So it's very much, it feels like there's always multiple choices and multiple ways to look at things. And how do we want to look at it? You know, what's our story that we're going to tell ourselves? So And do we want to revise our story and give ourselves a different story? It's an interesting time of thought and ideas for people, right? So what have you guys been noticing with your clients in terms of what they're working on?
Decisions. People are...
Decisions. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. People are finding themselves at a point of making a decision and realizing
mm-hmm.
that they want to make the decision. You know, sometimes we get sort of forced into a decision, but this is more like, oh, I'm ready to decide.
Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing that a lot of people are dealing with, you know, finalizing divorces or doing some deep search of their own, you know, that Mercury-Pluto can get obsessive. So I'm hearing people obsessing on family lineage or a history fact from the past, or they're really digging out, researching some deep point, which is pretty powerful in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
And on a slightly side note, I was looking at Bonnie Raitt's chart because she's been one of my favorites musicians mm-hmm. for a long time, and she got her first Grammy last night.
Oh, cool.
And she got her first Grammy about a song about someone who, comes back to a woman whose son died and he got the heart, and so they're sharing a heart. And it's a conversation about, it's very heavy, very beautiful and heavy song for a Grammy Award winning. And the young whippersnappers that are writing the headline saying, unknown blues musician gets the award. You know, because we've known her for hundreds of years.
Bonnie is. Let's give them something to talk about, right?
You know? Exactly. So I noticed that, you know, she's a Scorpio moon in Gemini with a Taurus rising, and her progressed sun is in her 10th house of career and work, and it just went into Aquarius 6 months ago. And about... her progressed moon was she had a progressed new moon in Capricorn a couple of years ago when her career started to crank back up again. Her progressed moon during the time that she was making and releasing the record that got the Grammy was in Aquarius in her 10th house. And we often say that, you know, the 10th house, when your progressed moon's up there going across the top of the chart, it's when you put into place the work that you're going to do for the next 30-year cycle, and when work that you put out there is more easily seen by others.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a powerful time for that to have happened. Her progressed moon is now in Pisces, but it was in Aquarius when the letter, the record was released. So I'm very happy for her. Uranus is opposing her sun. Her sun is 16 Scorpio, and so that was a real surprise to her that it came through, but a good surprise.
Mm-hmm. A good surprise, yeah. That Uranus sun is lovely. So she has she has the sun in Scorpio 15. Okay, that's a great place
16,
for it.
16, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Mercury in Scorpio at 8. So it was lovely to see that.
And it's a full moon aspect, right? So it's the full moon of the heart, the heart that was donated to someone else and beats on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's a really lovely description of that nodal square, you know. Wow. And actually, for her, it's a fixed cross, right? So.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
And it was
very
beautiful.
Cool.
So I thought it was really lovely to have that just as a side note that, you know, we often talk about, you know, the progressed moon and where it is in the chart. Are you at the full? Are you at a high tide or a low tide? She was really rising a high tide for the last couple of years, and it paid off, and she worked it.
It's very cool. It's really neat, yeah. Yay! Well, I liked
it.
I thought it was a very inclusive Grammys. Mm-hmm. You know, they had the history of hip-hop. I didn't realize hip-hop was 50. I'm like, wow, I'm feeling old now, right? So, but it was like, how old are you guys? Like, wait, no, you know. So, yeah, but it was really good. And I love the one where he had the different people all arguing about who should win. And the lady from Ontario was in her 70s and was Harry Styles, you know, and it was so cute because she got to say his name and get a hug from him, you know. So,
aww.
Yeah, it was like I love Trevor Noah. He's one of my one of my favorite people. Yeah, he's just very very genuine good host, you know. Just it was the jokes were funny. They were kind. They were interesting. They were observant. It was just a really nice energy. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, so with a happy feel good Grammys is the way I feel like. Yeah, so
and
I can't believe it's been 10 years since Whitney Houston's been dead too. That's the other part. I'm like, I feel like that just happened, you know. So, but nope, 10 years.
Mm. And Trevor Noah is a Pisces with a Moon in Libra, and Mercury Saturn in Scorpio. So he's got that edge. But he has that, you know, Venus in Aquarius, Mercury in Aquarius, able to really reach out and connect with a large group. So he's a really interesting example, and I love his book.
Yeah.
And Anne, you have been traveling all over the place since last time we saw you.
I have. I was on a cruise. It was great fun. We went to, it was 6 days on the cruise. It was a lot of fun. I haven't been on a cruise in years, like the 1980s, and that was in the Mediterranean, you know, the Greek islands and Egypt and Israel and Turkey, which was a great cruise too. But it was really fun, and, you know, it was a nice group of people. We had a lot of fun. It was the Moon in Aries, and I'm reading this really bloody book. There's a place called the Solarium where, you know, under 18 don't go. So I'm in there, and I'm reading this book, and it's the story of the Silence of the Women or something, and it's a book written from the perspective of women in the Trojan War, and, you know, Achilles, but we call them the Butcher, right? And they're killing all these people in the opening scene, and I'm like, and one of my friends had recommended to me, I'm like, this is like really gory, and it was an Aries moon, and I'm like, well, I'm reading it on an Aries moon, of course, it's a really gory book, right? So, I had a really lovely time. So, and, you know, my assistant came down with her boyfriend and babysat Remo. So they had a good time, although it was a little cloudy, but her boyfriend was fine. He was in the hot tub a lot. So that was good. and it was a good time had by all. So, I really enjoyed it. And then, you know, it's just been really kind of crazy busy, you know, and I'm looking forward to the world, I don't think it's calming down, but I'm looking forward to it being a little more organized. That's the best way to say it. So, yeah. So it's nice to be back. I missed you guys. You know, and then I was
working
a lot, so I kind of fell out. I'd fall asleep at, like, you know, 9 o'clock on the couch, which is, today I made sure I got up and moved around so I didn't sleep through it. So.
Well, wonderful. And let's take a few callers. We've got about 12 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sounds like a plan.
And hello, area code 718-757. You're on the air. How can we help you?
Hi. I need to have surgery done on my knee, and I was calling to see if the date that is scheduled is good.
Okay. What's your birth information?
February 19th, 1952.
Time and place?
1952.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then
11:06 a.m.
And where?
Abington, Pennsylvania.
And when is the surgery scheduled?
I scheduled it for March 31st. I've been calling in, but I didn't realize I had to press 1 to raise my hand.
So we got you today.
Yeah, I had the doctor's appointment and just went ahead and scheduled it.
Right.
Okay. And that's February
19th. And what do you think?
February 19th, 1952, 52 or 62?
52.
52. Okay, and we're looking at Memorial Day?
No,
March 31st, 2023.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm looking at your progressions. We'll let Ann do the talk about the surgery day because she's so good at that. And I see it actually looks pretty an important time for you to be doing this. You've got Pluto on your natal Venus in the sign of rules the knees, Capricorn. I think it's really kind of been making you lonely that you haven't been able to walk comfortably because of the knee.
Yeah.
And that it's really left you feeling isolated, and you're ready to get past that.
Yes, I've always been very active.
Mm-hmm. And so we want to help you get reconnected. Mm-hmm. Anne, what do you think about that surgery date?
I like it. I like having the moon in the first quadrant, so that's helpful. Mm-hmm. It's in Leo, which is mm-hmm. good. It's in an opening, moving from new to full, right, which is always good for healing. Mm-hmm. And the moon trines the sun. I'm assuming it will be earlier in the morning than now.
Yeah.
But it's still going to be in Leo.
Okay.
And it's the mm-hmm. sun, Jupiter. So that's helpful. And the sun is squaring progressed Chiron, and Chiron's in Capricorn, which is the knees. So I like it. And I like Saturn at the top of the chart. You know, it's kind of a, you know, mm-hmm. taking action to move. Saturn is on your node of fate. So it may be, you know, you're going to have to really do the rehab. You know, that would be an important component of it. And and Mars is nicely placed. You know, we're always going to see Mars in a surgery because they're cutting you with a knife. So it's in your first house, but it's making pretty nice aspects. The moon in Leo's closing aspect is going to be a trine, it looks like, to Mercury. So that mm-hmm. looks like the rehab goes pretty well. And so that's helpful, too, because Mercury, you know, Mercury is movement. So I think it's nice. I like it. I think, you know, my only concern, it's not a huge concern, is Mars in Cancer. But Moon is in a nice placement, you know, so that's helpful, too. I think it might be a little, are you having a full replacement, or are they just rotor-rootering out some of the stuff that's in there cartilage-wise? A full.
A full.
Yeah.
So what I would say is that,
you're not
just be careful
right
about
away.
Your feelings. Right. And don't get too discouraged. You know, it will be amazing how fast you come back online. But it is major surgery, and it's just going to be really important for you to be patient with your body those first few weeks and patient with your life. And it will come back online, and you'll be back connecting to people.
Oh, great.
You should feel really quite warm about the whole thing once the rehab gets going.
There is a grand trine and fire that day, so I think it won't have a lot of, you know, the moon is in fire trining your natal moon in Sag, which is your whole thing is I'm a busy bee and I like to run around and do things. You know, starting surgery, you've got the moon on your progress descendant in Leo. So I like that grand trine in fire for getting things up and rolling. And, you know, and you also have a progress sun, you know, your Jupiter sun is in your chart and you're having a sun Jupiter in the sky. So I think it looks really pretty positive. Yeah. But it definitely, the rehab is going to be, you know, it's always with the knees, it's hard anyway. But you also have to know
patient.
Scorpio and Taurus. Mm-hmm. So that's helpful for they're out of the house of hell and they're in the house of getting you back moving again because the south node has been going through your health house for the last year and a half. So you've really mm-hmm. been handicapped with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. Now I'm going to have the second knee done as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to wait at least 6 weeks to get that done.
Right. And so, I would, you know, we're going to have Venus retrograde this summer, right? So I would, you know, you're gonna bump into her because you're looking at the end of March then, right? For that, yeah. So I would, you know, we'll see how your rehab goes. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, the aspects are good for getting everything cleaned up this year. So
okay,
and
cool.
Mars
so
will
wait.
Still be in your first house. For the next, you know, it'll be there for a month and a half. So that's about 6 weeks. You're gonna plan on doing it before Memorial Day, or are you
the second one?
Yeah,
I was going to wait until Memorial Day before Memorial Day would probably work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say take it. Wait, make that decision after you got the first one done. And good thing.
But don't wait until Venus. To wait longer than wait until Venus is no longer retrograde.
Right. Yeah, because your progressed Sun and your Jupiter in Taurus now. So I mean, if you can do it before she goes retrograde, that's good. And if we get towards the, you know, it looks like, you know, assuming the surgeon does surgery on Fridays, you have a nice, you know, like kind of do it before she gets into heavy duty Leo, or do it in the fall, right? So, you know, kind of either right at your eligibility or wait until she's out of her retrograde. Because she's down, Venus is going to be retrograde in your third house, which is a lot about the neighborhood and the, you know, and how you're able to move. But it looks, basically it looks good. So.
Okay. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it.
Good luck.
Love you
guys.
Wonderful.
Thanks. You take care.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And we've got a few minutes left, but I don't think we've got enough left time to talk about anything specific. So let's continue to give everybody some good ideas on how to handle next week. Anne, what are you thinking for what we need, what they can do best to handle the next week?
It's decision time, right? So Mercury in Capricorn says make those decisions when Mercury hits Pluto and then the Sun hits Saturn, so consequences of them. But don't be afraid to say, you know, I'm not interested or I need to do this or this looks good, but I think I need to change it up. Because it is time for us to make decisions on, you know, we're being pushed. Not pushed is the wrong word, but the universe is moving really quickly until we get to when Pluto goes retrograde in Taurus time. All the planets are flying ahead. Vesta's in Aries this week, so she's starting a whole new habits and structures around your body and your health and kind of a rejuvenation. And though it's not quite spring, at least according to Punxsutawney Phil, start doing your spring fling stuff. So that would be my suggestion. Mark, what do you think?
I think the main thing this week is the Mercury-Pluto conjunction.
Mm-hmm.
And it really invites us to clear up anything that we've wanted to treat as a mystery. No more mysteries. This is the third pass of Mercury and Pluto.
That is interesting. No more mysteries, and be willing to hear. You may easily hear something that you don't like this week with Mercury Pluto conjunction, but don't get stuck there. It's like now you know. No more mysteries. Now you know. Now we can make a turning point and step forward. But I see with that Saturn Sun conjunction at one end and Mercury Pluto. Starting this Friday, that this is a serious time. We were talking about how this is a time to, you know, to really inventory your life and make sure that you're on track and let it go things that are taking you off track and make sure that you're heading where you want to go over the end, in the face of life and death and the meaning of existence, making sure that you're on track. So
totally.
Good luck. And use, you know, fixate. It's a fixation process. So fixate on something wonderful.
Yes, Mercury-Pluto is a little obsessive because Mercury is like hanging out with Pluto and Pluto is like an all-or-nothing guy. And so Mercury's like, I'm obsessed. It's like, all right, well, is it a good obsession? You know, and hopefully it is. Yeah. So.
I agree. So
healthy obsession.
Do we have any new things coming up? Anne, do you have anything that you want to share with your audience that you're doing?
No. I'm home, and I'm going to work for a little while. Yeah, I'm not taking a rest, but I'm. Next thing I do is in March, and that'll be in Davie, Florida, with the Florida NCGR South Florida chapter. So I'll be talking.
Oh, wonderful!
I think it's the 11th of March or something like that. So I'm catching up and getting things out the door. That's my plan for the next month of February.
Excellent. I'm going to be in mid-March in back in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis doing a few talks and going to Paganicon. And Mark, do you have anything you want to share with the audience?
Nothing in particular right now.
Okay. This is Heather Rowan Robbins saying goodbye to you and until next week from Ronan, Montana. Mark?
Mark Wolf, signing off from New York City.
And Ann Ortley down here at Boca Ciega Bay on the turquoise desk, back home again. So good luck to you.
I'll
see you guys all next week. Yeah.
See you all next week. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care.
Okay.
All right.